You just spent more money than you want to think about. New engine, or maybe just a new cylinder after a jug went south. The paperwork is done, the mechanic torqued everything down, the cowling is back on. And your first instinct, completely natural, completely understandable, is to be gentle with it. Take it easy, baby it, through the first few hours. That instinct is wrong, and following it could cost you that engine. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're going deep on one of the most misunderstood phases in aircraft ownership, the break-in. Not just what it is, but why it works the way it works, what the manufacturers actually tell you to do, and what happens when pilots get it wrong. Because the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, just published a piece on this topic that is worth every minute of your attention, especially if you've got a fresh engine on your airplane, or if you know one is coming. Let's start with the why. Before we get there, today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, back to your engine. When a new cylinder is machined, or a new set of cylinders comes out of the factory, the interior walls look smooth, but at a microscopic level, they are not. There are tiny peaks and valleys in that metal surface, what engineers call surface asperities, the piston rings, which seal the combustion chamber and are supposed to ride against that cylinder wall, need to physically wear against those peaks until the surfaces conform to each other. That process is called ring seating, and until the rings are seated, you don't have a full seal. Combustion gases blow past the rings, which is called blow-by, your oil consumption stays elevated, and your engine isn't making the power it's supposed to make. The question that breaks pilots into two camps is this: how do you get the rings to seat? The answer, counterintuitively, is heat and load. The rings seat because the pressure inside the combustion chamber during the power stroke pushes them outward against the cylinder wall. Low power means low combustion pressure. Low combustion pressure means the rings don't push hard enough against the wall to wear those peaks down efficiently. You can fly around at 55% power for 20 hours and barely seat a ring. High power, by contrast, drives those rings outward with force. 65%, 75%. Full power climbs. That is what seats rings quickly and completely. So the guidance that Continental, Lycoming, and most overhaul shops give you is essentially the opposite of what your gut says. They want you to run the engine hard during break-in, not abusively. Not in a way that ignores temperatures and pressures, but at real cruise power, climbing aggressively, operating the engine the way it was designed to be operated. Here's what that looks like in practice. For a new or freshly overhauled engine, most manufacturers want you to avoid extended ground runs. A ground run to check systems and oil pressure, yes. But you do not want to sit on the ramp running at 1500 or 2000 RPM for 45 minutes. With the cowling on, that generates heat without the airflow to manage it. And it can glaze the cylinders, which we will get to in a moment. Get it off the ground quickly. Once you're airborne, climb at a normal climb power setting, not a reduced one. Get to your cruise altitude and run it. Continental's guidance on their fuel-injected engines typically calls for 65 to 75% power for the first 25 hours. Lycoming has similar guidance. They are not telling you to cruise at low altitude and low power to protect the engine. They are telling you to operate it normally, because that is how the rings seat. Now here's where a lot of pilots make a second mistake. They think a long, shallow climb at cruise speed with low power is a good way to break in an engine. That is actually one of the worst things you can do. You want aggressive climbs, you want sustained cruise at power, you want the engine loaded. Think about what happens during a long, flat, low-power cruise. The combustion pressure is low. The rings are barely being pushed against the wall. Meanwhile, the engine is generating heat. Not enough heat to worry about CHT, necessarily, but enough to expand the metal. You're running the engine in a thermal state without giving it the load it needs to do the work. The surface asperities on the cylinder walls don't wear down the way they should. The result, if you do this long enough, is glazed cylinders. Glazing happens when the cylinder wall gets coated with a thin layer of hardened oil deposits, or when the microscopic peaks on the cylinder wall get partially polished rather than properly seated. Once a cylinder is glazed, the rings cannot seat no matter how much you run it. You end up with permanently elevated oil consumption, chronic blow-by, and a cylinder that has missed its window. At that point, your only options are to hone it and try again, or pull it. Here's what you need to know about oil during break-in for the break-in period. Most engine manufacturers and overhaul shops recommend straight mineral oil, specifically a non-dispersant, non-detergent aviation mineral oil. The reason is that ashless dispersant oil, which is what most of us run all the time and for good reason, is so good at keeping combustion byproducts suspended in solution that it actually lubricates the cylinder walls a little too well during break-in. It reduces friction to the point where the rings don't generate enough heat and pressure against the cylinder wall to seat efficiently. Straight mineral oil allows a controlled amount of friction between the rings and the wall, not enough to cause damage, enough to do the job. Most overhaul shops will ship an engine already filled with break-in mineral oil. Your job is to make sure you keep using it, typically for the first 25 to 50 hours, or until oil consumption stabilizes. Once you see consistent low oil consumption, that is your signal that the rings have seated and you can switch to your normal ashless dispersant oil. Now, there is an important distinction here between types of cylinders. And this matters depending on what you're working with. Chrome cylinders and steel cylinders, including nitrided cylinders, break in differently. Chrome-plated cylinders were common on many older Lycoming and Continental engines. The chrome surface is extremely hard and very slippery. It is excellent for wear resistance once the engine is broken in, but it is genuinely difficult to get rings to seat against chrome. Many pilots with chrome cylinders found that their engines took a long time to stabilize oil consumption, and some never got there completely. Most new cylinders today use nitrided steel or other surface treatments that are much more ring-friendly. They break in faster and more completely. But if you have an older airplane with chrome cylinders, know that your break-in may take longer, and your oil consumption may never drop quite as low as you'd get with a nitrided bore. Let's talk about what you should be monitoring during break-in. Oil consumption is your primary indicator. After a fresh engine or a new jug, you expect elevated oil consumption. That is normal. The question is whether it is trending down over time. You should be tracking how many quarts per hour you are burning, and you should see that number fall as the hours accumulate. By about 25 hours, you want to see it stabilizing by 50 hours. It should be at or near its long-term number. Cylinder head temperatures are another thing to watch. During break-in, especially during those high-power cruise segments, keep an eye on your CHTs. You don't want to run them above about 400 degrees Fahrenheit for extended periods. If you're running at 75% power and watching your temperatures, lean as the book says. You're not trying to shock, cool, or overheat the engine. You're trying to run it properly. Oil pressure and oil temperature are always worth monitoring, but they are especially important on a fresh engine. Any abnormality in the first few hours is a reason to land and investigate, not to push through. Some pilots ask about flying cross-country during break-in. The answer is that it can actually be ideal, provided you are running at appropriate power. A long cruise leg at 75% power is doing exactly what you want. What you want to avoid is a lot of low-power loitering, a lot of stop-and-go flying where the engine never gets up to temperature and stays there, or a lot of traffic pattern work at partial power. Here's a scenario that illustrates the problem. Pilot gets a fresh overhaul. First 10 hours are flying short local hops, mostly touch and goes, mostly at reduced power because he is cautious around the airport. Engine never really gets loaded, never runs at cruise power for sustained periods. After 10 hours, he notices his oil consumption is still a quart every 3 hours. After 25 hours, still elevated. After 50 hours, still elevated. He goes back to the overhaul shop and they tell him what they suspected. The cylinders glazed, the break-in window closed without the rings ever fully seating. That is a painful and expensive lesson, and it happens more often than the industry likes to admit. Now, there is a separate scenario OOPA highlights in their coverage, and that is the single cylinder replacement, not a full overhaul. Just one jug pulled and replaced because of low compression, a crack, or a seized valve. This is actually more common than a full engine overhaul, and the break-in process is slightly different. When you replace one cylinder on an engine that has five other cylinders that are already well broken in, you still need to seat that new jug. The other cylinders are fine. They will not be affected by your break-in power settings. But that new cylinder needs the same attention as if you had just done a full overhaul. The challenge is that your other five cylinders might be running perfectly on ashless dispersant oil. And now you need to consider what happens if you switch the entire engine to break-in mineral oil for one cylinder. Most shops and most manufacturers say to go ahead and use mineral oil for the break-in period, even for a single cylinder replacement. It will not hurt the other cylinders, and it gives that new jug its best chance. The power settings apply equally. That new cylinder needs load to seat its rings. You're not protecting it by cruising at low power. You're gambling that it will seat on its own, and the odds are not in your favor. There's also the question of timing. How long does break-in take for a single new cylinder versus a full engine? The answer is roughly the same, 25 to 50 hours, with oil consumption as your guide. Some cylinders seat quickly, especially nitrided bores. Some take longer monitor and let the data tell you when you're done. Let's address a question that comes up regularly in aviation forums and hangar talk. What about auto roughness? Some pilots, especially those transitioning to turbocharged engines, notice a roughness during break-in that concerns them. Some degree of roughness as the ring seat and the engine finds its equilibrium is not unusual. What is unusual is roughness that gets progressively worse, roughness accompanied by a dramatic increase in oil consumption, or roughness that occurs with abnormal temperatures or pressures. Know the difference between break-in roughness and something that needs to be investigated. A word on pre-oiling, since it often comes up in the same conversation. For any engine that has been sitting, whether it is a fresh overhaul, a new engine, or even just an airplane that has been tied down for several weeks, pre-oiling is worth a conversation with your mechanic. The idea is to get oil pressure established before you actually start the engine, which means the bearings and cylinder walls are lubricated before the first combustion event. Some engines have fittings that allow a direct oil pressure delivery. Others require simply pulling the bottom plugs and turning the engine by hand or with a borescope port accessible. Your shop will know the appropriate method for your engine. The point is that the first start of a fresh engine is a critical moment, and anything you can do to ensure oil reaches the critical surfaces before the first power stroke is valuable. Now, there is a broader principle underneath all of this that I think deserves to be said plainly. Your engine is a precision machine that was built within tight tolerances, but it needs to find those tolerances through operation. You cannot bench test your way to a broken-in engine. You cannot idle it to a break-in. The engine needs to be operated the way it was designed to be operated, under load, at temperature, with appropriate lubrication. Every time you baby a fresh engine, you are denying it the conditions it needs to set itself up for a long, reliable service life. The manufacturers know this. The overhaul shops know this, and now you know it too. One final point, because AOPA's coverage touches on this directly. Document your break-in. Keep a log of power settings, oil consumption per flight, CHTs, and any anomalies. This gives you a baseline. It helps your mechanic assess whether the break-in went as expected. It may be relevant if you ever have to make a warranty claim with an overhaul shop. And it gives you the data to know, with confidence, when break-in is complete and you can go back to your normal operating routine. That is the story of engine break-in. What seems like common sense turns out to be backwards. The engine that gets babied is the engine that ends up in the shop early. The engine that gets loaded, monitored, and properly lubricated through those first critical hours is the one that goes the distance. Information today comes from AOPA's aircraft maintenance coverage. Find that piece and a lot more at aop.org. You can find this program at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly it like it was built to be flown.